Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to our Action Research Podcast, created by the HEAR Lab team at the University of Houston. The HEAR Lab is the hub for engaged action research, and the mission of the lab is to build the capacity of scholars to create and disseminate collaborative, accessible, anti-racist research that centers community and fuels social change. Through hosting different activities such as walk and learns, webinars, or disseminating one-page research briefs, the team hopes to amplify research beyond articles and connect scholars to one another. Research should be done to create an impact, and by hosting this podcast, the hope is to have more awareness around anti-racist research approaches, as well as seeing how research goes beyond articles to connect to practice and policy. I'm excited to kick off this episode by introducing the three amazing scholars that will be talking to me about the brain health of Houston's older Vietnamese immigrant and refugee population. There will be a lot to unpack during this episode, as this has been a community-engaged project that has been going on for 8 years. Recognizing the stigma that the specific ethnic group experiences while interacting or not interacting with the health system. And so this is all really exciting because their work has now led to currently creating the UH Cougar Cognitive Health Initiative, CHAIN. So without further delay, I'd like to first introduce Angel Nguyen, who is a first-generation Asian-American and upcoming senior with a degree in public health and a minor in biology. Angel is applying to med school next year and is passionate about addressing health disparities and learning what it means to be a healer. Our next guest is Ms. Kim Nguyen, who is also an undergraduate student majoring in public health and minoring in biology and medicine and society with a pre-med track. Kim shared with us that she migrated from Vietnam to Houston 6 years ago and has been involved in researching the Vietnamese community for the last 3 years alongside with Dr. Miyawaki. Her personal research interests include underserved communities, specifically the Vietnamese community, people with disabilities, people with rare diseases, and equal access to healthcare services. Our final guest will be Dr. Christina Miyawaki, who received her MSW with an emphasis in gerontology from the University of California, Berkeley, and PhD in social welfare from the University of Washington. She is an associate professor at the University of Houston Graduate College of Social Work, and her research interests include health, health disparities of older adults, of different ethnic and racial minorities, as well-being of older adults and their informal caregivers among diverse populations, including immigrants and refugees. Thank you all for joining me. Let's begin by having you all share what your research is about, the different roles that you play, and how your research demonstrates an anti-racist approach.
Okay. Yeah, so thank you very much for the introduction. So my research, I came here 2015. That was the first year that I came. And then I was looking for some Asian American Pacific Islander population because that has been my research. And then I realized that so many Vietnamese people are here. So that's what I got my interest. And then I, because I'm interested in population health, so I was looking at their health data. And I found out that there was no health data on Vietnamese immigrants and refugees. So that's how I started my research. And I started the Vietnamese Aging and Care Survey. That is called VACS. And we did the survey in 2018 and 2021. And then we found out that there are extremely high prevalence of cognitive impairment, but nobody was taking them to doctor and they're just taking care of them because they believe that cognitive impairment or memory loss is a normal part of aging. So that's where I got excited about it. And they said, no, we have to do something about it. So I created a community engaged dementia education program, and then we made a one pager about Alzheimer's disease and dementia. And so now what we are doing is utilizing our U of H pre-med student, undergraduate student in Vietnamese speaking, and we will train them and teaching them about cognitive health assessment, and we'll do the free memory test in the community. So that is called Cougar CHAIN. So that's the project that we are doing right now. So it's been a while, but we have involved these three major research projects.
And Dr. Miyawaki, you talk about coming to Houston 2015 and looking for Asian Pacific Islander subgroups. Talk to me about your background, right? Are you Vietnamese? Do you speak Vietnamese?
No, I'm a Japanese American. I don't speak Vietnamese at all.
And I think that's important, right? Because I want to really recognize that when we talk about research and how it demonstrates an anti-racist approach and the importance of studying different health populations, studying different populations, you're like, look, this is what I'm looking for. And this is a gap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the Japanese Americans been in this country for a long time. So we've been pretty much acculturated to American culture. But Vietnamese people, well, majority of refugees came 1975. That's where the fall of Saigon is. It's only 48 years. Japanese Americans been here over 100 years. So it is a huge difference. But we went through, although we didn't come here as a refugees, but Vietnamese people came here as a refugee. So their condition is very different. So that's what I wanted to emphasize, their condition and their ethnic background. So that's what it got me interested in, because we wanted to learn how refugees and, you know, those people are trying to adjust. So for the past 48 years after 1975, they've been surviving here. So that's why it is so important to know their health and well-being, whether they're doing okay here or not.
And Dr. Miyawaki, you speak about cognitive impairments, Alzheimer's, dementia. So you put a couple of them out there, but for our listeners who may not know about them, could you tell me more about what you mean by cognitive impairments, Alzheimer's, dementia?
Yes. So cognitive impairment, you know, everybody forget things here and there. So that's a normal aging as we get older. But there are some things that you will notice, like daily life. Oh, yeah, I forget my key. But if you forget your key, where you put your key every day, that's something that we should be paying attention. And we call it cognitive impairment, but there are some level of cognitive impairment. And if it goes worse, and then you may have dementia. And Alzheimer's disease is one part of dementia. But many Vietnamese people didn't understand or didn't even notice, or maybe they are in denial that they are forgetting things. So that's where we need to catch them. If you see these warning signs, we should pay attention and you go to see a doctor. But as we do the research, we found out that they are believing that memory loss or cognitive impairment is a normal part of aging. So that's where we need to pay attention, and we need to demystify, and we need to educate them. That's not the part of normal aging.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Kim, Angel, what are your thoughts, right? You all are undergraduate students. I would love to hear your thoughts on the research, your different roles, and how it demonstrates that anti-racist approach.
I can go first. As we talked about, because Dr. Miyawaki don't speak Vietnamese, that's why she hired a research assistant like me who speak the language, so we can assist her in the research. But I think back on what Dr. Miyawaki said about how there's no research data on the Vietnamese community here, I think it's important to emphasize because of the culture of the community as well, because it's relatively new. People just came here, and because of the culture, most of us grow up to become, let's say, doctor, lawyers, or, big features people. So not a lot of us has put effort into doing research about our population health. So that's why we need people like Dr. Miyawaki, who is very generous to do this research for us. So it's very important to emphasize that as well. I've been also working with Dr. Miyawaki as her research assistant for the last 3 years now, and since VAX to CDEP and to Cougar Chain as well.
So she's been going through with me for the past 3 years. So she went through all these three research together. And without her, I couldn't have done anything because I didn't understand the language.
And that's important. That's so special that you are able to connect with undergraduate students as a researcher at the University of Houston in different schools to be able to conduct this research, right? This is not about one school or one specific subject area. This is really about expanding and working together and creating that community. So Dr. Miyawaki, you being able to work with Kim for the last 3 years, and Kim, you mentioning that you've been through three different projects, that's really exciting to see that it's not a one-time thing or a quick, try to fix something, but really an investment in the community. Now, Angel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, just to introduce myself first. So I unfortunately met Dr. Miyawaki and Kim just last year. So I wasn't able to really get involved as much, but it's really something that I'm passionate about because I am Vietnamese American myself. And it's really funny to see how much little data there is on Asian Americans, even though Asian Americans are one of the biggest overrepresented minorities in the healthcare system. And it's really something that is ironic because we are sometimes seen as the model minority, which could be a really big effect on why we're not really being researched much, because we're seen as people that aren't as affected as African-Americans or Hispanic-Americans. But overall, working with Dr. Miyawaki and with Kim as a research kind of volunteer, I was able to really get involved with my own community and really get to meet tons of people with very diverse backgrounds. And it's very interesting to see really the idea and the stigma around mental health as it's seen as something as a weakness and something as really not normal, and they don't seem to want to admit that kind of idea.
And so you bring up an important part, Angel, in terms of stigma or not wanting to admit to experiencing challenges with memory, mental health. So as you all have conducted and continue to conduct research, you share that there is very little public health data on elder adults in the Vietnamese specific population. So how does the research that you all are doing contribute to social justice? And I'd love to hear the different perspectives, right? We have students, we have a professor. How does it contribute to social justice?
I can speak on that. So the population that we're focusing on are the elderly Vietnamese people, elderly Vietnamese American community. And therefore, most of them don't really speak the language. And so, but we're living in America where healthcare services are provided in English. Providers speak English. So as patient, the Vietnamese older community, they don't really receive adaptive healthcare services as they wanted to. There aren't enough doctors who speak Vietnamese or services that provide them the culturally adaptive services that they expected it. Therefore, consequently, they don't really go to doctor's office or clinics to get checked out for, let's say, dementias or depressions. With our research here, we hope to improve the health literacy for dementia and depressions, and therefore, and also to promote like the expansions of adaptive healthcare providers and services where they can get healthcare from.
Yeah, I would like to kind of add on to what Kim has said. When it comes to social justice, I kind of also see this research as really addressing the real cause of the rise in dementia or the really big health disparity of Vietnamese Americans. And it has to do to a lot of what Dr. Miyawaki says, the fall of Saigon and also the Vietnam War, and really kind of the adversities and kind of the struggles that Vietnamese have come from. It really caused a lot of mental health disparities in the Vietnamese communities, and kind of immigrating here to America and really assimilating to a really 180 culture has really affected on what it really means to kind of be a Vietnamese American in general.
It's exciting to hear two students from public health, and I know both of you have different minor, or both of you are minoring in biology as well, to hear the importance of social justice, Right. So many times, especially in today's world, we hear social justice and we think it's a buzzword. But you all are really bringing up the importance of that adjustment, of being able to have providers recognize that the language is a barrier, culture is becoming a barrier. And if this information doesn't get out there, although the Vietnamese Americans are looked at as the model minority, that there is still opportunity to collect this data and improve their health. Dr. Miyawaki, did you have anything else to add in terms of how this research is contributing to social justice?
Yes, for me, because there was no data. So population itself, we just don't even know how they are doing. And so that's why we started this Vietnamese Aging and Care Survey. And that's what we found out, that they have high prevalence of depressive symptom as well. So cognitive impairment and depressive symptoms. So that's one major thing that we found out. And then we need to advocate for them. As Kim said, they don't speak the language. Almost 99.9% or 100% of all the Vietnamese, they don't speak English. Their first language is Vietnamese. And then, of course, they have their own culture. So that's where we need to respect their culture, because they brought that. And they came here as refugees. So they have no choice. So that's where we need to respect their culture and then go with them. We need to adjust, and we need to emphasize their needs and their preferences so that we can serve them. So that's, and then I think if we find out the health needs of refugees as a whole, maybe we can contribute to other refugees as well.
That's fantastic, because you're not just talking about one specific population. You're saying, how can we then take what we learned and how we went about this process to implement it to other groups? Which, again, so many times when we talk about research, that's the importance of why this research is being conducted. So as I hear about your research and the importance of it, let's transition a little bit to how this research influences policy.
Yeah, I think the amount of influence that this research has on policy and legislation is kind of on a scale from small community and clinics to like big, you know, funding policy, for example. So let's say at healthcare clinic, you can develop policies or rules that, you know, provide culturally adaptive healthcare services for the community, or to a larger scale on the funding level, let's say the NIH can budget a little more amount of funding for Asian research, for example, and et cetera. And I think those make, from big to small, influences as well.
Yeah, so I was just mentioning about, because if we don't have any data, we don't know anything. So we need to start from that. And then we can present the health needs. So that's what we are in the stage of what the Vietnamese refugees needs are right now. And then we can apply for the policy change. And then, as I mentioned a little bit, if we have this community needs that we find out the community needs, and then we may be able to apply to other refugee populations.
Yeah. And in the social work world, we talk about the micro, the meso, and the macro, right? And of course, I'm sure you all have heard that, but we can make that impact on the community level, or we can do it, you know, even larger to nationally. And so what I'm hearing you say is there's policy implications in how providers or the community can interact to support recognition of cognitive impairments for this population, such as the one pagers that you all have shared and created to make sure that that information about this challenge that is being experienced is out there. Angel, did you have anything to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of add off what Kim says. Like, I kind of think of it as getting the ball rolling, in my opinion. And kind of working as a volunteer, I could really see how passionate everyone really is when it comes to the project, and how everyone is so thankful for Dr. Miyawaki to kind of address this issue when it comes to the Vietnamese community. Because as myself, I personally didn't know about really the health disparity when it comes to Vietnamese Americans. And really seeing how everyone loves to work together with the elders and working in the project, it really helps bring awareness to the idea of mental health and what it really means to kind of address Vietnamese Americans. And then it really also brings change to kind of our Vietnamese community itself, as it helps the younger generations and the younger people really get motivated and get excited to really help people.
And I think it's really special from everything you all are sharing that the community has been involved in this research process. And not at the end of, oh, this is my research question, I'm going to go research this, but really the community has been involved from the beginning to this current phase. And that really speaks to each of your roles and how you go about this, whether it's being able to speak the language, whether it's about being interested in specifically having public health data on a specific population. So it's been fantastic to hear about that. So I want to go into then, what are the results from your research that you all have conducted? And how are these results being disseminated to the community that it serves?
Yeah, so with the Vietnamese Aging and Care Surveys, we published 6-page journal papers, but those are the scientific journals. So it may not be really connected to communities. But we, as a researcher, we've been doing the conference presentations at the national level for the past few years. And then this year we'll be doing that with Kim as well. But I've done several community engagement presentations to Vietnamese American Medical Association, or Vietnamese American Retired Teachers Meeting, and things like that. But I think we should be doing many more community engaged presentations with the lay language. And maybe we can translate in one page result, because our research was about Houston Vietnamese American community. So we should be presenting that to them so that they'll be really relevant. And then we are doing that with the Vietnamese American medical doctors and nurses and pharmacists, so they know the reality of their health data. So, and I think if they bring the result of the one pager and then also the result of the cognitive test, that's how we are trying to educate the community as well as the doctors.
Yeah, so that is for VAGS. Well, I'll just summarize this a little bit. I joined Dr. Miyawaki at VAGS Wave 2, and we interview 200 participants, including care recipients and caregivers. We found that most of them have, again, depressive symptoms and dementia, and only one participant bring them to their primary care doctor. Only one. And the rest is basically they are in denial. They don't know what dementia is. They think of dementia as just getting old. You just forget things because you get old. So that's what we found in VAX Wave 2. As for CDEF Phase 1, we developed that one pager where we work with 14 others, key personnel in the Vietnamese community who are Vietnamese doctors, Vietnamese nurses, and community leaders. And surprisingly, it takes us a few months to develop that one pager because, the words has to be culturally correct, and the face, the color, everything has to be correct and I guess suitable. So right now, as Cougar Chains, we're implementing that one pager. We are contributing that into the community where we go to health fairs and we perform cognitive tests with the participants, the older adult, and then we provide them with that one pager and we tell them, please bring this to your primary care doctors and they're going to help you with your treatment plans. So that's how we disseminate this material directly to the community, but also hopefully in the long-term ways, this is going to be spread out in the whole community as well.
Yeah. And then just kind of adding on to what, Kim and Dr. Miyawaki says, I think they did a great job with creating this one pager. I really found many of the study participants really being very receptive to the pager and really loving how really grammatically correct it is, and also excited to kind of really show it to their doctor or their PCP next time. And it helps kind of spread awareness, again, as we said previously, on kind of the idea of dementia and really bringing awareness to Vietnamese American doctors that are actually working with the Vietnamese community.
And so that's where I want to try to pull together everything that you all just mentioned, is that these research results are being disseminated to all levels of the community, not just the individuals that are experiencing it, but the caregivers, the actual individuals that are having the memory tests, the professionals in the community. And as you said, Kim, wanting to be able to get this to everyone. So my question to you all to really wrap this up, to bring this all together, is what are next steps for people who hear this podcast, hear about your research? What are the action steps people should take after hearing about or reading about your research specifically?
Well, for us, we are still continuing this Cougar chain, and this is only one the first year, and this is only half year. And it was very, very, very well received, because whenever we are there, there is a long line of waiting, line of people who are waiting to have the test. So we found that this is really their curiosity or their need. So we need to continue providing this. So we'll be continuing next semester as well, but this 1 year is nothing. So I plan to apply for another funding, and then hopefully it'll be funded so we can provide this. Yeah, and because we have many Vietnamese students at U of H, and hopefully they can practice their Vietnamese, so they'll be able to speak in Vietnamese so they can provide these services. And then I think this is a great intergenerational project, and we are providing this to individual level, but it will go to the community, because what we need to do is educate the community and be awareness of the community of cognitive impairment or mental health or cognitive health. So that's the ultimate goal. And 1 year is nothing. So we need to continue doing that.
And seeing that you want to make it intergenerational also speaks volumes to how culturally aware you are, right? I think that is something that is ingrained in culture, right? I can't speak specifically for Vietnamese Americans. I'm Indian American. Right. So knowing that intergenerational piece, whether it's being able to speak Vietnamese and speaking the language, right, or speaking to our elders, that is all part of the culture and how that works and what happens there. Angel, Kim, any other thoughts on actions people should take? We're hearing funding in terms of looking at this population to try to raise awareness for the population on health disparities. Any other things that you want to add?
Yeah, I think as for action step, it's pretty personalized, as is, like, you know, where your age is and how culturally aware you are, and your ability as well. So as for caregiver, I think, you know, you can learn more about dementia and depressions, and talk more freely at home about the illness and, you know, the symptoms, and actively take your loved ones to the doctors to take care of that. Or as a healthcare provider, you can, you know, engage in conversations with your patients about the illness, and, you know, encourage them to engage in a better treatment plans, for example. And for students like us, like, you know, we speak Vietnamese, so we just volunteer at health fairs and help out with cognitive tests and etc. So I think it's the action step is very based on, like, your ability and how enthusiastic you are about the matter as well.
Yeah, and then like Kim said, just you can really just start in your own household, really talking to friends and family about mental health, and really spreading awareness of Asian American health in general, as we are the fastest growing minority group here in America. So it really just starts with creating this inclusive environment and just making people feel welcome here, and just starting off as something really small and eventually getting it bigger and get the ball rolling.
Yeah, that snowball effect that you're talking about at the beginning. So I want to thank you all for being here today as we sign off, and wrapping that all up with different steps for different people. Individualizing again how each person can be a part of this research process. It doesn't have to be that you're a researcher. It could be actively talking and discussing to promote that awareness of the mental health, of dementia, of cognitive impairments. It could be, hey, you're a funder. You should fund this specific project. It could be participating and volunteering and getting involved in your community. The HEAR Lab team is here to connect with scholars and community to amplify voices in research. We look forward to connecting with listeners through their reflection and conversations. If you see public impact scholarship occurring in your community, tag us. Let us know. Stay in touch or share your thoughts by tagging us on Twitter at #GCSWHEARLab. Rate our show, leave us a review, and subscribe so you can learn about all things HEAR Lab and can cultivate change in research procedures, policy, and impact practice. This is your host, Anil Arora, signing off, living the dream.